Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in count is called Blue Planetary Storm, and it is the 10th day of the White Dog Wave Spell, and it is day 5 of the Electric Moon. And I apologize because my presence here on the podcast has become a little erratic, and it's sort of beyond my notice, actually. There's so much jumping in my life as I approach age 52. It's very astrology-oriented that I am being taken over by a huge life transit, and so I haven't been as diligent about keeping my schedule here, but I'm reporting from inside the portal of the 52-year change that we all encounter, hopefully, that it is profound and includes massive shifts. Not really shifts of consciousness for me, but like just shifts in the outer realm of self. As I live and move through the world, things are becoming super changed. So I will get right back into thoughts and reflections and try to find out where we are, because I haven't been tracking this whole White Dog Wave Spell. Is not really conscientious on my end. I'm living the White Dog Wave Spell, making choices from the heart, but I am not in my head. I'm in my head to a degree, but it's like my consciousness about the calendar is not in my head right now. I'm not thinking about all the intricacies of the Zolk'in. I am instead following my heart, but that would be right in the nexus of the White Dog Wave Spell, is to be so in our hearts that we just move forward on four legs, really grounded, really fast. Dogs are faster than people. And just go for it, you know, that carefree sprint came after the Red Earth Wave Spell. Just sort of a recap, we had the Red Earth Wave Spell where I announced that we would each experience a major shift or an evolution through the Wave Spell. We could see ourselves having moved from point A to point B, both nameable and being able to remark on how different it was to be at the end of the Red Earth Wave Spell than we started, that we would see actual, again, change in our life. But the change would be like a really profound and smooth kind of, not a jarring change, not a seismic, yes, but, you know, I'm not finding the words. Sorry, that's White Dog too. Not very verbal. So Red Earth took us from point A to point B. Let's agree on that so that we could remark that we had made a journey, nameable, describable journey. And then White Dog, I don't know what it is for you. Hopefully you're fixated in a loving way on something. What I wanted to say, a lot of self-reflection, is that for me, it's about self-love. This Wave Spell is sort of weird. It's like that arrival point that every woman wants to get to in a patriarchal world, which probably does happen when you're about my age, early 50s, where you're just like, you know what? I have to love and cherish myself. And so the white dog wave spell for me is not about sitting around going, oh, wow, I'm the best. But there's all of this evidence that would reassure me that I'm worthy of high self-regard, and I'm like a cool person, I'm easy on the eyes, or all these things that are so tortured in me often, you know, the not good enough quotient of my being. And so in the white dog time, I'm all like not even permanently maybe able to settle into higher self-regard or self-acceptance or self-celebration. Just like, oh, wait, no, I like this. I like what's going on here. This is cool. What a cutie that person, you know, that I am. And giving, you know, the gift, valuing in self-love so that I could make some changes, as I keep describing, that are because I want myself to have the thing that I want. You know, like, oh, I can help you, self, get what you want. Well, I'll do that because I really love you. None of this is really going on in my mind, but I think it's an encapsulation here on the 10th day of the wave spell, which is the peak experience, the day of manifestation, the planetary day, always the peak of the wave, the peak of what we're going to create, sort of physical and nameable in our planetary existence, before we kind of launch astrally and feel it all dissolve, because any planetary accomplishment is a wave and will cascade back down to sea level after its climb. So I am enjoying that. I can tell, you know, I didn't fall in love with a beautiful man. I do love my white dogs. I have so many of them, but I actually separated for a 5-day vacation from my huskies. So I was just like a mom that couldn't take any more pressure. All my dogs were physically sick from something they were eating, and it was just like having, you know, two sets of twins that were up all night, infants. And so I just had to give up and take a break. And that seems really characteristic of what happens when you are a mom, actually, and you just have to like go back to self-care because you have nothing left to give maternally. So that's where I kind of got the clue that even though I love my dogs, and I have been with a couple of them, that the white dog wave spell wasn't about dog love or puppy love with some other human. But you could have a very different experience. Just pointing out that today is the experience's apex. And so if I have some inkling or understanding of it, it's because it's the planetary day where the manifestation becomes sort of obvious. And then the wave will break and things will resolve and they will turn. The next wave spell just on the horizon line now, because we're up at the peak of the wave, so we can kind of look out at what's ahead of us as well. Next wave spell will be the blue night wave spell, which is a celebration of intuition and abundance and dreaming, and somehow the home or the house, the shelter that we have to live in order to deeply sleep and dream. We're not there yet, but there's some more coming. We're in this kind of cascading time in the Dzogchen where everything is sort of a manifestation, because we go through these quartets of wave spells, and they move through the four directions. So we have 4 wave spells in the east, 4 wave spells in the north, 4 wave spells in the west, 4 wave spells in the south. Every one of these quartets is red, white, blue, yellow, red, white, blue, yellow. So we are currently in the fourth, and therefore we're in the south. And so we had the red earth wave spell was in the south, and the white dog wave spell we're in is in the north, and then the blue night wave spell will be in the west, and then we will finish this quartet with yellow warrior in the south. But currently, this quartet that I keep alluding to is in the South. It is yellow. And the South is the place of our bodies and the element earth. And so there is this way that things are physicalized or actualized right now. The big Dzogchen movement that started in the first wave spell, Red Dragon, takes us from the east to the north to the west to the south. And when we're in the south, yeah, things are physical, embodied. We can touch them. Do you know what I mean? It's like we went through the other places. We start with fire. We go to air. We get to water. And now we're on earth. We start with our mind. We move to our spirit. Then we're in our emotions, our feeling state. Now we're in our bodies. And so, since the way the Dzogchen is, you know, a giant journey towards birth, like it's the reflection, it's a spiritual reflection of being in utero. So things are strongly shaped and emergent in this yellow southern quartet of wave spells, which I call the yellow southern spiral. They were called castles by Jose Arguelles. But I'm just also wanting you to know that there is a fifth quartet, which I haven't mentioned yet, although maybe you know this from other podcasts or other times through the Dzogchen. But the green spiral is the center of the wheel, or the four quadrants, usually red, white, blue, yellow, would be. We don't have any green tribes, so we just have the green spiral of four tribes and other quartet that finish the Dzogchen. And it's very special to be in the green. It used to be called the green castle of enchantment, so we would just call it the green spiral of enchantment, because enchantment is, well, it's a great word, because I love enchantment. That's part of what I experience with natural time. Just like, oh, it's a very enchanted way of living to live through this prism. But maybe it's like the place of mysticism or our soul. Maybe our spirit is our soul. But, you know, if we were going to go with our mind and then the spirit and then our emotions and then our body, then when we get to the green part, the beyond the medicine wheel, then, yeah, like I sort of see it as just the most mystical, magical part of a human experience, where we sort of equal all the qualities that we imbue nature with, when we have the most powerful sunset and the most powerful moonrise and the most powerful storm and the tides so low, like these moments in nature when we're in awe of what is being produced by divinity through earth. I think that we have a version of that in ourselves that shows up in this green enchantment, this time. Like, the world will seem enchanted, but so is it a reflection of our inner enchantment. You know, if I have a mind, I have a spirit, I have emotions, and I have a body, then I also have this unnameable but essential portal of self that goes to the highest level of divinity, that makes beauty, makes magic, makes awe and wonder. Wow, I'm really talking it up, this green castle, this green spiral. We shall see. We're not there yet, but it's coming. And then the other thing that's sort of adrift in my mind and brought me to this podcast moment, you know, reminded me to like get back on the microphone, is that we just entered yesterday, on what we would maybe call September 23rd, the first instance, the outer realm of the Mercury retrograde. That gets a lot of play here. I know there are other planets in retrograde, and yes, it's not that kind of an astrology podcast, so maybe that's why there's not a lot of play for that amount of detail or depth. But when we get to Mercury retrograde, I talk about it always, partly because I am so driven by retrograde. I'm driven by Mercury, and retrograde will interfere with my work here of outreach into the world. Not at its essence, but in its function mechanically. Me trying to get a podcast up, it's not surprising when I find friction on that path. So here we are. I've been looking at this date, this idea of this retrograde in Scorpio coming because I am selling a home and buying a home. So I was hoping to get all that in place before this retrograde, because I'm sort of paranoid, or I'm a deep scholar of the retrograde, Mercury retrograde, and I know it's really a bad time for contracts, but I'm sharing it here because the ride is beginning, and it'll be fun to kind of share the experience of my successes and setbacks. And you can find your reflection. I won't do a whole, like, this is what retrograde is kind of deal. I will just make sure you understand that I'm talking about the beginning of an 8-week Mercury retrograde. That Mercury retrograde, when it's written about in Cosmopolitan magazine, is 3 weeks long. So this is the first glimpse of Mercury moving backward in the sky, or actually, that's not even true. It's sort of moving forward in a way that it'll move backward in another 2 weeks. Forgive me for being kind of an amateur about explaining it. I am just saying that you don't have to buy into Mercury retrograde starting right now. I just have to let you know that I buy into it for myself starting and being 8 weeks long, being half the time. Meaning we have 8 weeks between the full retrograde, 8 weeks into the full retrograde. That's the actual rhythm. But one more popular way of seeing it is that we kind of have like 2.5 months and then 3 weeks and then 2.5 months. So there you go. I'm using all kinds of Gregorian calendar references. So this is also a bit of a setback here. We're trying to talk about natural time. And there you go. This is one aspect of natural time, is that my adherence to the retrograde. Okay, so white dog we've covered. It's the peak of the wave, and that means that's the peak of love. And it's very interesting to me, you know, as a metaphor, that the peak of the white dog wave spell, sort of the highest manifestation of this idea of mammalian heart-centered love, ends up being blue storm, which in simplest terms is rapid and fervent transformation. A lot of things are transformative, but blue storm is really active. It's like an uproarious kind of transformation. It's very deliberate, meaning, you know, it's absolutely different in a very quick change, pressurized, explosive methodology. So I love that. I mean, maybe I love that because I was born on a blue storm day. I'm in the blue storm tribe, but I just sort of love that, you know, this idea that love that comes from the heart and is sort of like driven by an animal's pure instinct, not very mental, leading with your heart. Where that gets you is something as powerful and also as, you know, unsettling as a storm. That love will take you, a real devotional love will take you to a place where the force of nature is so strong that, you know, everyone is in abeyance to that power. And that sounds like a really good marriage to me, or a really good relationship as a parent to a child, or, you know, any of those very intimate, very deep love affairs we might broach in a lifetime, that it is ultimately takes you to a place that's way beyond self, into the grandeur of of the larger life experience and the forces of nature and the forces of divinity. So one day, we've anticipated the next wave spell on the horizon. In fact, I took us on quite a journey into the, you know, wave spells to come that finish out the Dzogchen. So that what's left to talk about is the electric moon. And that's definitely interesting because it's not the same as the lunar moon. Let's just track back because I've sort of been lost in the electric moon. Just going, charged up. But it started on Sunday recently. This is Thursday. So we're in the fifth day. It's a very new transit. And I would say in the first few days, two or three, I said aloud to other people, it's like it's more challenging than it was in the lunar moon. This is, it wasn't like a shift into, okay, we've had all this identification of challenge this year, this 13 moon year, but now the electric moon's on and things are completely calming down and getting easier. Which is a little bit of the supposition one has when you leave one moon and there is immediately the taste of the next one. One of the things that happened at the end of the lunar moon, which I talked about last podcast, and, you know, I don't know that I feel I can talk about it eruditely, you know, or sensitively. I'm talking about the passing of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I am, you know, it mattered to me that it came in the last, you know, the swan song of the lunar moon, because it posed such a challenge, such a challenge that's already been laid bare, which is just about chronic warlike divisiveness, an even split of, you know, hundreds of millions of people pitted against each other in beliefs in the United States. And so, blah, you know, what a fucked up finale, you know. But in my own life, which I just, you know, I have to hold on to that representation as if maybe it's a trend that you could also be sharing. Like, I just got out of my head about that. That was such a blow to the kind of hope or confidence that was starting to brew that there would be a regime change, that we could kind of lean on it as something factual and also something reassuring that there would be, you know, an exodus of the hardcore Republican radicalism. And so what happened is that I just found hope in another realm of my life. You know, I found a lot of hope and inspiration and action and resilience and promise and joy. And as I said, self-love, while paying almost no attention to headlines, because I just haven't had time. I doubt that, you know, you're a bunch of newsmongers who are having to have that kind of reckoning about, like, if I really love myself, then I'm going to take care, you know, not of my selfish needs at the expense of others, but I'm at least going to make sure that I am taking care of myself well enough to feel hope and gratitude, because hope is kind of the lead. Like, I have gratitude for a future event that I believe will happen. So I'm going to stay grateful in this moment, and it's going to stretch out before me. I'm grateful for the experiences to come. I have hope. And then, you know, of course, how to have gratitude looking backward at, you know, what we're standing upon as part of our life experience. You know, our foundation comes from what we've lived through. So I'm having that experience, and it's, as they say, right-sizing all the systemic problems that we have, even if I haven't solved the climate crisis with any of my actions. I have become more spiritualized by having self-care and self-love. So I think that relates to the electric moon in this way. I advertise the electric tone as being the infusion of divinity, of a God force, whatever you associate holiness to be. It is coming through right now. in the electric moon, what happens is that we are electrified, we are charged up, we are given power from a power source that could equal the sun in a spirit world. It could just be the sun. You know, the sun is so powerful that without it, we would perish immediately. The sun is so powerful. It warms us. It gives us light. It gives us everything we need to live. I mean, I think that's true, right? It's the source of all life, the ultimate. So it's God, like it is God, perhaps. And in the electric time, it is a surge of power that enters our own life experience and solves or heals some of the rifts that were identified in the lunar tone, and this presence that begins to fill the space where there is division is divine. It's godlike. It's holy. It's sacred. It's massively powerful. And so I'm not sure how it all will play out over the entire 28 days, but I found that life did get less challenging after a day or two of the electric moon, that there is an infusion of this kind, benevolent, powerful, supportive, practically parental energy, the invisible form of, you know, gifting me strength and reassurance. And that sounds really good, feels really good. And we also walked out of that doubling of energy, which I talked about a lot in the podcasts, the lunar moon, 28 days long within a lunar year, 364 days long. That amplification of the lunar tone was a great teaching. It was an indication of what this whole year is about. But now we are stepping back or down from that kind of layered or doubled exponential exposure to the lunar tone. We get kind of a break from it. Like, we did this deep dive for 28 days. It's still a lunar year, but after being so like doubled down and steeped in it, it's going to feel really different and liberating to not have that amplification, I think. I'm hoping. Okay, so then the last really important thing for now is to understand that we're in a blue storm year, and every time we come to a blue storm day, which is every 20 days, it's also the beginning of the next venal. The venal is a 20-day period. I don't want to call it a period. I never know what to call it. A 20-day cycle. It's like a 20-day month. The Maya, really, at the heart of their year-long calendar, they divided it into venals, each 20 days long. There end up being 18 venals, or 18 months, just to throw a word in. 18 cycles of 20 days through the year in the Mayan year, and that, of course, creates 360 days, and the 5 days that are left are called a Vayeb, and it's the celebration, the festival of the end of the year and preparing for the new one. So we're far from the end of the year. We're in the beginning, and we have had, if you think about it, this sort of simple math, the year started on July 26th, which is the phrase, the one who knows. And then we come to the next 20 days later, will be always on August 15th. And the phrase with that is listens in silence. And then the next one will always be September 4th. And it is the phrase, in order to integrate the universe. And then the next one is September 24th, which is where we are today. And the phrase is, based on the knowledge. I mean, what does that mean? Based on the knowledge, like, of in and of itself, does it mean anything for a kind of meditative phrase or a fortune cookie saying? Does it mean anything? And the answer lies in you and your perception of this time. But maybe just to underscore, every time it's a blue storm day, we shift And we're given this different little lyrical nugget, but mostly just think of it as the beginning of a new vinyl. Like, so you're incorporating a whole other Mayan count, but it was really, really popular or integral to actual Mayan civilization. So I throw it in. And that it reminds us too that it's a blue storm year, and blue storm heralds change every time we come to it as a day. All right then, I am somewhat back and things are getting grounded and organized, and I hope to keep my rhythm or explain it further when I drop out of earshot. I am Lisa Starr. I am another yourself, and in Mayan we say, in Rakesh.